All right, our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. You can find this starting, actually completely, on page 1169 of your pew Bibles. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak, for I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to, and you must say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words into your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." What makes a prophet qualified to be a prophet? Yes. I was really hoping, like, so that was intended to be rhetorical, but I was really hoping somebody would respond and just make me really happy again. Both of those are really good answers. You're getting to the end of the sermon. But yes, excellent answers. God, Holy Spirit, amazing answers. But I've wondered what actually qualifies someone to be a prophet, to say that they're a prophet, to stand up. And when I thought about this, I thought you really need to first define what prophecy is. Or what a prophet is. What is the message that they're giving? So, show of hands, when you think prophet, you think Nostradamus or Miss Cleo. And you think prophecy, you think fortune telling, looking into the future, crystal ball. And it says, this is what's going to happen in the future. For $2.99, I'll be your prophet. Just call my 900 number. Or the other side, you have these people who claim to be prophets, and their message is, turn away from your sin and send me $1,000. That's the sort of person who is standing up and wanting everyone to know that they're a prophet. And their message, always either giving their message or the message itself, always benefits that kind of prophet. You make good money being a televangelist prophet or being a fortune teller, a psychic. But the prophecy we're talking about is different. The prophecy we're talking about is not necessarily future telling, though it does tell the future. But when you listen to the prophecy, it is you are doing these bad things, and continuing to do these bad things will lead to your destruction. If you continue to live apart from God, if you continue to live in this deep, depraved sin, it will lead to your destruction. You will be destroyed. Prophecy always has something to do with the sin of the recipient. But the other half of prophecy is no one wants to hear it and no one wants to give it. No prophet was just like, yes, God made me a prophet. I won the lottery. All the prophets come up with great reasons. And two of the three major prophets start their call story by telling God, no, I will not do this. Which comes to my question, what does qualify a prophet? Because Isaiah and Jeremiah both say, no, I can't do this. Now, I've always felt a kinship with Isaiah and his denial, because he's like, I am a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips, which is basically the exact excuse I gave for when I knew God was calling me to this work. For 9 years, I gave that excuse as to why I couldn't do this. My people are potty-mouthed people. Those are my people. You have no idea how much it takes for me not to just be a potty-mouthed pastor all the time. I've always felt this kinship with Isaiah, but Jeremiah's excuse, I feel like it's the excuse we all have. Because Jeremiah just says, I'm too young to be a prophet. Which, if you distill that down, he says something about me inherently. Not anything of my own doing, but something inherent about me. Something inherent about how you, God, made me, or even when you, God, made me, makes me incapable of being a prophet. And we all have this. We use this to silence prophetic voices, and we use this to silence ourselves. We tell young people, you're too immature, you like the wrong things, you dress the wrong way, you don't dress formal enough. You don't know what you're talking about, you're too immature, you just don't get it. We tell young clergy, and I'm trying not to be biased here, but we tell young clergy, you didn't learn all the things in seminary that everyone else learned in seminary. Clearly, we need to instruct you still. You don't know what you're doing. You're too idealistic. But then we tell old people, you're too out of touch. You don't understand modern problems. You don't understand the modern world. You can't possibly have a voice in 2019. We tell old clergy, Talk to these dying small churches that don't make a difference. Go preach to them. Go do these things that no one will see. You cannot possibly have a prophetic voice for 2019 at your age. And that's just our age things. Those are just the age reasons that we take to silence other people or silence ourselves, because we make the same excuses about ourselves too. But we're not even talking about gender, money, education, experience, race, location. We're not talking about all of these things that are not of our doing, are inherent to our being. We use these as excuses why God could not possibly call this person or why God cannot possibly be calling us. And it's really easy to understand why. Especially personally, it's really easy to understand why somebody would not want to speak a prophetic message. I will tell you, the couple of times that I've had sermons that I've preached from the pulpit and I knew were difficult, challenging sermons that were going to poke the right buttons, I can see it in the congregation. Like even before I start, like this isn't going to be a nice sermon. No one's going to enjoy it. This is going to be a bummer. I'm going to walk out of church feeling bad today. Or I get done and somebody's gotten offended. Somebody's like, how dare you question? How dare you say that I could possibly be sinful and wrong? Or somebody I love could possibly be sinful and wrong. Trust me, speaking in a prophetic voice sucks, for lack of a better word. It's awful. Because no one wants to hear that. And you look at the prophets in the Bible, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, most of the minor prophets, zero success whatsoever. No one listens to them. If you read, actually, it's really interesting. I'd never read it in the beginning of this. I mean, I knew this, but I'd never read it at the beginning of this. But if you read the little introduction to Jeremiah in your pew Bibles, he spent the first 20 of his life under Josiah, a good king who tried after Jeremiah was often in danger from political and religious leaders who were angry because of his messages. No one wanted to hear this. No one wanted to be told, you're not good. Isaiah, same thing. Ezekiel, in the exile when he's prophesying. The only prophet that we can really see, super successful, is Jonah. And Jonah wanted to die because he was successful. He got so mad. No one wants to be a prophet. No one wants to bring this message, especially against your own people. It sucks. It hurts. It's painful. And at your best, somebody you dislike might turn away, and at the worst, you just anger everyone you love. No one wants to bring that message. But I guarantee you, somebody in this congregation has a message of prophecy to bring. Someone, not just me. Someone can see the world and the situation, or the church life and the situation for what it is, and say, no, this is wrong. To speak out against things that people love that they think are just okay. Somebody here has that prophetic message to give. And like Jill and Peggy said, the qualification is not something that we are inherently. The excuses that Isaiah and Jeremiah bring are not inaccurate. Without God, they are not qualified. Me, I'm not qualified without God. I'm a smart underachiever from a rural area that constantly refuses to live up to his expectations. I am not qualified to speak in a prophetic voice on my own. None of us are. But one of you, at least, has got that prophetic message to bring. Difficult and uncomfortable and painful, and people hate you for it. People leave churches over it. People walk away. But you know, that doesn't change that God qualifies us and calls us to these things. That doesn't change God's call on our lives. God qualifies you to speak, to share God's message, and to at least one of you, speak the prophetic word. God qualifies you. May we all act like it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.